الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا وطبيب قلوبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My most respected علماء الكرام, my most respected elders and our dear brothers and our young friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy and grace, has blessed us with the greatest wealth and ni'mat and bounty of Iman and Islam, which is such a ni'mat and bounty that a person is able to adapt and navigate through all conditions of life. Whichever condition a person finds himself in, whichever error a person finds himself in, and whatever halat and situation a person will find himself in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakah of that iman and the blessings of faith and conviction and yaqeen and other sifat and qualities like tafweez, surrendering our matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these aspects help us to cope and help us to manage the conditions and the halat and situations that we are facing in our life. At the present moment, we find that each and every one of us, all communities and the entire globe, mankind and humankind as a whole, is undergoing very trying circumstances. And these conditions that are prevailing at the moment are being termed as unprecedented in recent history. The difficulties, the strain, the grief, the pain, and everything that is ongoing, it is something that has really gripped the lives of all of us. And therefore, as believers, as a Muslim ummah, it becomes more and more imperative for us to realign ourselves with the core aspects of our belief and our faith and our iman and our conviction. Because ultimately this is what will allow us to prevail, what will allow us to survive and overcome these challenges with our faith and our iman and our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala undeterred or unaffected in a way that we become despondent and weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Kareem warns us against this, that when conditions afflict you, do not become weak. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't become completely overwhelmed and consumed by circumstances and conditions and difficulties. أَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. You will prevail. You will overcome this condition also. You will pass this phase also. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. With the proviso and the condition that you are true believers. So therefore, the need of the time is for us to introspect into our iman, to reflect and to contemplate and to re-look at ourselves, to observe ourselves and to ensure that we are making progress through these conditions, because these situations don't come to weaken us or do not come to destroy us. Rather, they come to strengthen us and to give us higher ranks and more reward. So when we look at the hadith sharif of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, We find Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes reference to these aspects, that how as believers we can contain the difficulties and at the same time we can prevail and we can flourish as far as our iman is concerned. One particular hadith which we will discuss today, wherein the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this hadith sharif is narrated on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not enter into the garden of paradise and Jannah until you become true believers. So the criterion of Jannah and paradise and ultimate salvation and success, the main criterion is iman and faith, which we are well aware of. So لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. And you will not be able to acquire and develop true iman and faith until you have love for each other. Until you have this affinity for each other. Until your heart becomes soft towards the next Muslim brother. Until you begin to regard his difficulty and worry as your worry. So this aspect of muhabbah, this aspect of love is something which is very principal as far as our iman is concerned. And Nabi Karim sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in this hadith sharif is making it a criteria for true iman. That true iman is linked and is dependent on a person's love for his Muslim, fellow Muslim. And then Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after giving criterion, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gives the remedy and the formula. أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Should I not direct you to that action or the formula and the remedy, that if you develop this and you practice upon it, then you will be able to create love between yourselves. أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that create the habit and create an environment of spreading peace, of making salam, of well-wishing, of showing each other that we are together, that we have concern for each other. This aspect of salam, we make assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, is our greeting. However, behind this greeting and this practice, the sunnah practice, there is an entire philosophy. There is great wisdom, because it is something that gels the community. It is something that brings hearts together. It is a bayan and it is a message. It is a statement. It is a commitment that we make to each other. When we make salam to each other, one is the verbal exchange of words, which is sunnah and masnoon. And there too, sometimes we find that unfortunately, we are reluctant to make salam properly to the next person for various reasons. That person must make salam to me. Why must I make salam to him? Or I don't know this person. He's an ordinary laborer. Is not known. So if I don't know him, I don't make salam to him. Or it is just an attitude sometimes that we have. That we wait for people to greet us, but we're not prepared to greet people first. Whereas the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Al-badi'u bis salam bari'um min al-kibr. The person who makes salam first is free from pride. It is a purifier of the heart. It is something that is a remedy for us, for our pride, for our ego, for that which lurks within us. So this aspect of reaching out to people, showing people love and compassion, like the hadith sharif that we have recited, irhamu man fil ard yarhamukum man fis sama. Have mercy, show compassion, reach out to people, and yarhamukum man fis sama, this will become a means of you being able to draw from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my dear friends, one of the reasons why we're discussing this is because we find that today because of the trials that we are undergoing, the difficulties that we are facing, there is a lot of misunderstanding that has taken place between people, individuals, families, musallis, community people. A lot of division has entered into our ranks. People are looking at the other person with a negative eye. People have become judgmental on other people. We are now, have taken the position of sitting in judgment to other people on the level of the iman or the practice of deen. And this has created a lot of dissension. It has created acrimony. It has created a great deal of unpleasantness. It has brought a lot of division in family ranks also. Daily we receive messages of how siblings and how family members have become confrontational with each other on aspects of differences. And on the one hand, while we have the circumstances that are unfolding that we need to deal with, the COVID-19 difficulty, the pandemic, all of these things are there which are known to us. On the other hand, we have a bigger situation that is unfolding, and that is the aspect of dissension and acrimony and unpleasantness that is prevailing. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and protect us, my dear friends. But the teachings of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam are very clear that we should adopt the path of moderation and balance. Khairul umuri awsatuha. The best of matters that a person can adopt is a matter of moderation. Be balanced in our approach. Don't take an extreme position in anything in Islam or in anything in our life for that matter. Because extremism is something that is contrary to the philosophy of the Sunnah. The philosophy of Deen and Islam is the aspect of goodness, of easiness. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes and desires easiness for you. Allah has made things easy for us. Allah has made deen easy for us to practice upon. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ Allah is not there to make things difficult and hard and constrained. So therefore, one very important aspect is, in terms of all the issues that we are facing, at least if we can keep the channel of relationship with our fellow brothers, our fellow Muslims, our fellow friends, we do not taint that. We do not contaminate that. Because contaminating that contaminates our iman and our faith. And that is why the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed so much of emphasis on the aspect of akhlaq and character. That you're talking about piety. Talk about good actions. Who is a pious person? Who's got kamil iman? Everyone wants to have high iman, kamil iman, perfect iman. May Allah grant us that. We should make dua for it and we should seek it. أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُوا الْخُلُقَ You want to know who's got the best iman, perfect iman? The person who has developed the best character. And this aspect of akhlaq and character is something that gives weight and relevance to all our a'mal and our actions. Two people read the same salah, the same Jummah salah, the same Fajr salah. But both those salah are not equal in weight. Because one person's heart is purified through good character, through good manners, through cleanliness of the heart. The person has got a clean heart. And the other person is performing the same salah in the same surf. But in his heart, he's harboring ill feelings, malice, competitiveness, disdain for fellow brothers, for fellow Muslims. Then the weight of the salah, the substance of that salah, the substance of that action is lost. He will have fulfilled the obligation and he will reap reward. But the weight of it and the substance of it will be different. Therefore, the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, advised the young companion, Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an. The beautiful history of Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, we know. His beloved mother radiallahu ta'ala anha brought him into the company of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Madinatul Munawwara. He was a young boy of 8 years old. She came to the Rasul of Allah and said, Ya Rasulullah, people are bringing gifts to you, people are embracing you, welcoming you, and offering you so many things. I don't have anything to offer, but I have this little boy, this young lad, and I am devoting him to your service and your khidmah. This is what I have to give to you. Look at the foresight of the mother, look at the investment of this mother. Where did she come and leave her son? In the best companionship, in the best home, in the best place that he could ever find. The house of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's a lot of anecdotes and there's a lot of ahadith sharif where Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala explains his relationship with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The compassion, the love the Rasul of Allah showed him to the extent that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never rebuked him or never scolded him, or never reprimanded him for anything. He was a young boy, he used to go out and play with the other young boys sometimes. He used to forget his duties. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to send him out to do some work. He used to forget about that work. The Messenger of Allah would come and see him playing, smile at him, greet him, but never took him to task for not doing his duties. So the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on one occasion is advising Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says, Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son, O young boy, O my young man. And this is another thing also that we find that is lacking in our lives, our compassion for our children. There's a huge gap that has been opened between parents and children. We need to, once again, give them importance, make them feel good, make them feel wanted, make them feel important in the home. Sometimes we pass remarks to them that they are unfit, they are not worthy, or they are not intelligent enough, or they are not good enough. And these remarks have a negative impression on the psyche of the child. The child loses self-esteem. The child begins to believe, I'm useless. I cannot achieve anything. In this house, I have no worth. These are things we are saying on the basis of the remarks of people, my dear friends. And it comes to a point sometimes that a child wants to even abandon that home because he does not feel worthy or wanted anymore. May Allah protect all our children. So the Sunnah has taught us these beautiful, valuable lessons that when we address our children to, we address them with love and compassion and make them feel good and make them feel wanted and important. So they have their own self-esteem. So the Nabi of Allah says, Ya Bunayya, إن قدرت أن تصبح وتمسي وليس في قلبك غش لأحد ففعل وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That if you are able to spend the morning and the evening without harboring malice and ill feelings in your heart for anyone, then do so. Meaning throughout the course of our day, in our interaction, we are interacting with people. We are doing business. We are teachers. We are professions. We are coming across people. And people have hearts. People have feelings. We are not dealing with machines and robots. Today the world talks about this entire philosophy and gives it a very glorified terminology of emotional intelligence. Right, the experts or life coaches of the world talk about emotional intelligence, a very big terminology they have given it. But what is emotional intelligence? Emotional intelligence is based on the Sunnah, on the life of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. One of the most classical verses of the Quran al-Kareem that make a reference to emotional intelligence is Khudil afwa wa'mur bil urfi wa'arid anil jahilin. So it has a lengthy explanation. But if we just look at the first part of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, take to pardon. Khudil af. Develop the capacity, the ability, the lesson of forgiveness. Learn how to forgive people. Learn how to live and let live. Give people a chance. Don't become judgmental. Don't become harsh.
فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Allah says in the Quran Kareem to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah instilled this rahmah in your heart. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala used to love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dearly. They used to gravitate to him. They would do everything for him. They were prepared to sacrifice their lives and the lives of their parents and children for the Rasul of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Such love he gave them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَذًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَدُّ مِنْ حَوْلِهِ. If a person is hard-hearted, harsh, rude, uncouth, then we don't want to go near that person. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed human relations also. On one occasion, he was sitting with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and a person was coming towards the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Messenger of Allah told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, this man here, in our terms, is a danger man. And mention certain things about this person that were very negative. When this person came into the presence of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Nabi of Allah greeted him nicely, sat him down, spoke to him nicely. This person left. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala questioned Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that before he arrived, this is what you said. And when he came, you treated him in this way. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is how you maintain relationship with people. That if you know there is danger, you know that a person does not have good character, then you do not provoke him. You do not agitate him, because that will cause more harm in society. So how to deal with people, how to relate with people, how to interact with people, to have that husni akhlaq is one of the greatest things that we can achieve, my dear friends. Our ibadat, mashallah, is something which is extremely important, and we should develop that and we should try our best. But even if a person does not do a lot of ibadah, but he is able to be good to people, make people feel good, be a well-wisher for people. Today, we find that in families, so much is happening. Families have lost people, family members. Some people have lost several family members. We cannot even begin to imagine the pain and the grief and the trauma that they are going through psychologically, mentally, emotionally. It is a very difficult and trying period. And the function and the role of a Muslim and a mu'min in a community, in a neighborhood, in a society, is to reach out to these people, reach out to families, be of assistance, lend a shoulder. If there is food that is needed, if there is some work that is required, take the burden off the family. Make the family feel light. Because this is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will conclude on one hadith sharif, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again emphasizes the importance of giving love and mahabbah. And it is an article of iman. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined who a believer is. Al-mu'min. Al-mu'min is one of the sifat and the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mu'min, al-muhaymin, al-aziz, al-jabbar. One of the beautiful 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does mu'min mean? It comes from the keyword aman. Safety, security, protection. Allah is the giver of iman. Allah is the protector of our iman. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-mu'min ma'lafu. A believer, a true believer, a true mu'min is someone who is a bearer of ulfa. Of goodness, of love, of kindness, of mercy. That when a believer, wherever he goes and whoever he meets and he interacts with, he is able to have an impression on that person. He is able to influence that person positively. He is able to minimize or help that person with that person's worry and grief. He is able to make that person feel light and good. He is able to cheer that person up. And this is what Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. There was no one who was more cheerful than him. There was no one who smiled more than the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyone who interacted with our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my dear friends, would leave his company with this in his mind, that the Messenger of Allah loves me most. Now when we look at this entire seerah and the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we look at ourselves and our society, and we do an introspection of our own akhlaq and character, then we realize that we are far behind. Because if there was love in our community, if there was harmony, then there wouldn't have been this much of dissension. We all are aware of what happens on the social media groups. The amount of labeling, defaming, blasphemy. And not only of our fellow Muslim brothers, but al-iyadu billah, Allah protect us, of ulama ikram, scholars of deen, great scholars of deen. And we are being warned about it, yet we find, unfortunately, this trend continues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our families. This is a very dangerous and a destructive trajectory. Allah protect us. So my dear friends, the time is for us to now reach out, help, become considerate. And let us take an approach of understanding and consideration. Work with wisdom. Work with diplomacy. Have a moderation and a balance and an understanding in our thinking. Let us not be radical. Let us not be, you know, one, as they say, one-track-minded. This is how it is, and there's no one else in the world, and this is what it is, and everyone must be like this. We are all wired differently. That is why the Deen of Islam promotes the aspect of ikhtilaf, differences of opinion, because there's differences of temperaments. People are different. That is why we have the four madhahib, the four schools of thought. And we have a wide array of differences among the ulama ikram throughout the centuries of Islam, which is a rahmah and a mercy for the ummah. Differences of opinion is not there to create dissension and sow division in the ummah. It is there as a mercy for the ummah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this, that the ikhtilaf of my ummah is a rahmah. So something which is a mercy, how can we make that into a point of deflection and difficulty for ourselves? So it requires wisdom, understanding, diplomacy, knowledge. Let us enlighten ourselves. Let us ask our learned scholars. Let us be tolerant. Let us be patient. So Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minu ma'lafun. A believer is someone who has this wide bosom. He's able to accommodate. He's able to absorb. He's able to tolerate. Like how the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tolerated the harshest of conditions. A believer has the capacity to tolerate difficulty and harshness. But the believer himself, he exudes goodness, love, compassion. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَأْلِفْ وَلَا يُؤْلَفْ. And the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a person can't have this, if a believer doesn't have this aspect of love and compassion, then لَا يَأْلِفُ وَلَا يُؤْلَفْ, he is regarded to be deficient in his iman. There is no good in this person. So our goodness and the goodness in our iman comes through our akhlaq and through our character and through the manner that we treat other people, the way that we interact with other people. And we also know that daily we are seeing the number of mayyit messages. People are passing away in front of our eyes regularly. And this should evoke a sense of urgency within ourselves to observe ourselves, our own lives, our own death, our own mode. On one occasion, a janaza was being passed. A person asked a certain buzurg and pious person, whose janaza is this? So the buzurg, to awaken him to his own reality, he said, this is your janaza. And if you are offended by that, then it is my janaza. Meaning that now is not the time to find out what happened and how the person passed away and what was it this or was it that and start going into details of information. But now is a point and a time for reflection, for contemplation, for seriousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. My time has expired. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, all those who are unwell in our families and in our community and the entire world, Allah grant everyone shifa. We should pick up the books of dua and we should spend our time rather than wasting our time on things that are frivolous. Let us spend our time learning the duas, the sunnah duas of for sick people. There are so many good books, authentic kitab. Let us learn these duas and read them regularly and console people. Send messages of consolence. Send messages of hope to people, to families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give everyone shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra. Grant them full recovery. And those who have passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. We must make dua'i maghfira for our amwat. If we begin a habit and a trend of isale sawab in our own lives and the lives of our family, then when we will be laid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make people remember us also. This is one of the benefits of having a habit of isale sawab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise the darajat, fill the kabar with nur. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.